what's that going to say?
Start your day the tour away in Northwest London. Thursday, 11th of Iyar, 12th of May, 26th day of the Omer, Rabbi Doni Oro, Shlita, Megillas Rus, Part 1. This week's Torahway has been sponsored by Family Dunner, Lichvet, Simple Bar Mitzvah of Tzvi Dunner, whose Bar Mitzvah was last Shabbos. Yerotzen Shiz Gehorov was Kenov the Rav Nachas, Menu Mikol Yotzei Chalotzehem.
Megillas Rus. Well, actually, I'll give a slightly different introduction this year because, amazingly, the Hashgacha is that this year, for those learning the Daf Yomi, we're in the middle of Maseches Yevamos, and Yevamos is kol kulo, really full of Megillas Rus. Sometimes explicitly, sometimes beremiza. We have the Giora of Rus in Daf Mem Zion. You have all the way through Sugis of Gerim coming up. There's the obvious issue of Yibum, right? It's a very central part of the Megillah and so on and so forth. The 10-year waiting and whether that, you know, the marriage was 2 days ago. Daf. I mean, and Be'ez Hashem will actually see along the way certain other Ramazim and certain other issues that come up and really link the two. But for now, we want to start with the fact that we're in Rus in the build-up to Shavuos. And we know the Ramah in Siman Tov Tzadi said, brings the Minhagim of the various Megillahs that we read in different Yomim Tovim, and we read Rus in Shavuos. And the Mishnah Berurah there quotes the Koheles Rabbah. And the Koheles Rabbah tells us the reason is linking, because Rus is a Makabalas HaTorah. She receives the Torah. And the Lashon of the Megillah actually, of the Medrash actually is Lamedcha, it's not just the Kabbalah Satorah, but to tell us the Kabbalah Satorah is difficult. It works through Yisurim, it works through it being impoverished, just like Rus herself and Naomi went through Oini and Yisurim. Now, the issue, of course, with that is that explains why we read part of Rus on Shavuos, but it would be enough just to read, let's say, as Haftorah, just read the first parak. Now, you could say, okay, because we're reading the whole Megillah, but let's hold that thought, because we also know another reason given in Tov Tzadi Dad of the Shari, that that is to do with David HaMelech. This is when he died, and this is when presumably, therefore, he's also born, and this is therefore all, and this whole Megillah source only comes to be Meyachis David HaMelech. Okay. Now, what we really want to understand, and this I think is, you also know this also, this is the man of the Omer, this is the time, but one wants to think like this, and this is what we, Be'ez Hashem, are going to see, is that these are not just bits of the story. There's a bit about Kabbalah Satorah, and there's a bit about David HaMelech, so it happens to be we've got some nice reasons. But somehow these are going to turn out to be very deeply intertwined, both the whole issue of David HaMelech, the whole issue of Kabbalah Satorah, of Rus's Gior, these are going to turn out to be fundamental and linked to the whole issue of the Yibum that's going on towards the end, and that all the stuff that's happening there are all themes and issues that are going to be fundamental to Kabbalah Satorah and fundamental to Malchus Beis David that are going to be linked around everything to do with Shavuos. So this is what we want to try to see and explore and learn together, Mirtz Hashem, over the coming few times we're going to go through this together. Now, when Chazal themselves ask, why do we have Megillas Rus at all? In fact, even before Chazal themselves ask, when we ask the question, what is Megillas Rus trying to do? Not why do we link it to Shavuos, but what is the Megillah itself doing in Tanakh? So the usual klal is that any sefer of Tanakh, its goal is understood by just looking at the beginning and the end. Where does it come from? Where does it go to? It comes from Vayhi B'mei Shvoit HaShoftim, right? Comes from really the end of the Sefer Shoftim, or actually a certain point in Shoftim called Ivtzan, we know that Boaz is Ivtzan. But Vayhi B'mei Shvoit HaShoftim, and it ends with the birth of David. And that tells you that conceptually, at least, it spans the movement out of Shoftim and into Malchus Beis David. And this is reinforced by the fact that Gemara in Bava Basra and Daf Yud Daled tells us that who is the author of Megillas Rus? Shmuel Hanavi. Shmuel wrote his Sefer, right? And he wrote, amongst the three Svarim he wrote, is Rus. And if he wrote Rus, right, and he himself, his entire, his own life, he wrote Rus, and he wrote his own, his the own Sefer of Shmuel itself. So we know that the purpose of Shmuel Hanavi is to bring about David HaMelech, right? He's the one who has to bring a Malchus to Yisrael, he's the one who has to deal with a request from Melech. He first puts in Shaul, it doesn't go well, and he ends up with Malchus David, and he therefore is this transitional figure between the end of the Shoftim and the introduction of Melachim, and therefore he writes Sefer Rus to show you and teach you the Yesodas of what it is that has to move us from one type of Avodah Zashem to another. These are things we're going to look at, and in fact, the Gemara in Temura says that Shmuel himself actually was a melech for one day, for 1 year. He was mishamish together with Shaul in the very beginning. They had a tiny overlap of the day he himself was a melech, but that means that he himself is the last of the shoftim and the first bridge into the melachim. So this sefer is going to bridge all of these, which I begin to make sure to shoftim and ends with Malchus David. But also we know the Medrash that tells us that the goal of the Megillah, the Rus Rabba says that the goal of the Megillah is Omar Zira, Megillah Zu, Ein Ba Loi Tuma Ba Loi Tahara, Loi Issa Ba Loi Heta. Right? It's not teaching us any halachas, Loma Nechtav, why is it written? It wants to teach you about Chesed and the reward of Chesed. That is, so now we have several themes again that we're going to try and have to pull together. The transition from Shoftim to Melachim, particularly to Malchus Beis David. The issues around Kabbalah Satorah. And fundamentally, at its core, it's a sefer to teach you Chesed and the Schar of Chesed. How does all this work? So let's start inside. Vayihi mei, those opening words we know the Gemara Megillah tells us, and the Medrash in Megillah, in Esther Rabbah tell us that this means that we're looking at Pronius. We're looking at something going fundamentally wrong. Now, usually that's something going wrong at the level of Kalal Yisrael. The fact that we have Yisurim in the family of Normi would not by itself be enough to call a Vayihi bimei. And the Gemara says, yes, there's a Vayihi Rav Ba'aretz. But if you listen to the Pasuk, there's actually a series of issues here. First of all, Vayihi Rav Ba'aretz, there's a famine. The famine doesn't play a major part. It's not like the whole story is how does Kalal Yisrael get out of the famine. Somehow Hashem is pokadus amoy. We don't actually hear the story of what shuvah they did or what happened or what didn't happen. That's not the side of the story. But the next bit is vayelech ishm beis lechem Yehuda lagur b'stei moyav hu ve'ishto ishnei vonov. That a man, an ish means nobility, right? And that's the Gemara's dorish, his greatness. But that he must have been great, and the Rambam brings it as well that gedoy le'ador was Elimelech and his sons, and they leave. And the obvious question is why they leave. Wealthy people, people who could be called ish, are the only people who don't suffer when there's a Rav Ba'aretz. They usually have major storages of grain, and they're the ones who are fine. It's everybody else who suffers. The second issue is the Pasuk itself is written anonymously. It doesn't tell us who they are until another Pasuk later. Shema ish is Elimelech. Shema ishto is Nomi. Shema shnei vonov, machla and kilian, efrosim beis lechem yehuda, etc. Vayavoy stay moyov. And the third ha'ara there is at the end of that second part, it's Vayihi Yusham. What do the words Vayihi Yusham mean? It doesn't mean they were there geographically. That would be a very redundant setup. We know they're there. They're there and they're there. When something is B'havayosan Yehei Chazal Afan Dosh, right? In other words, it became itself. They became themselves in Moav. Another question, by the way, is why go to Moav? Normally in Torah, when there's a Rav Ba'aretz, you go down to Mitzrayim. And there's an obvious reason. If there's a Rav in Eretz Canaan, or later now in Eretz Yehuda, in Eretz Yisrael, if there's a Rav there, there's going to be a Rav across the, just a few miles off to the east in Moav. There might be a drop more precipitation there, but not much. There's going to be a famine here, there's a famine there. Mitzrayim has a whole different, Nachalei mine, the whole place is fed by the Nile. That's, why are they going there? And when you put it all together, there's an obvious reason. And they really answer themselves. Is they were running away from Stockholm. Their issue is, and the fact that Boz tells you ish means anybody, you could put in anybody, the nobility were running away. We see many remarks to this in the Megillah, that the wealthy people, in fact, generally they were suffering from a lack of chesed. So that makes sense. The Sefer is going to teach us chesed begins with the tragic decimation of the Midas HaChesed. Here we are in a Rav Ba'aretz, and the nobility, the people who can do something about it, are running. Night after night they're being bothered by people who want stock out of a chesed all the time. And where do they run to? To Moav, to the place in the world that is anti-chesed. Right? We're told that's why you can't bring a Moavi, Amoni Moavi, to because Hashem lo yakid v'lechem, because they didn't come forward with lechem, they didn't come forward that these guys don't do chesed. That's why you can't take them into Kal Hashem, because this is the place in the world that doesn't do chesed. Vayihi Yusham, they became themselves there, they found their place there. This is the tragic story, the Vayihi Bimei, the tragic story of Klal Yisrael, the children of Avraham Avinu, Titein Emes Yaakov Chesed L'Avraham, who are running away from chesed at a time when the people need them, who don't want to be bothered by it. And then the death and tragedies that happen to them. Now, Moav itself, and this is also very important, as we go down through the Perek and try and get a deeper understanding, we will see that issues of Moav make their way through quite fundamentally. All the way through, one of the big questions is going to be, and it's another issue, Maseches Yevamos, is going to be a question of Moaviyah, was Rus allowed to marry in, not allowed to, you know, Moav's not allowed, is a female from Moav allowed to, and so on. And that's going to be a reference, often she's going to be called Rus HaMoaviyah, sometimes just Rus. We have a very strange piece. Everything goes wrong in Moav, right? After Yeshu Shom Ke'es HaShonim, and again, also Gemara Samach Dalet in Yevamos there, that of the 10 years, no children, and then they die, everybody's dying, and the point comes when Normie wants to get up and go. It takes him in a makam shahisa shama. She gets out of this place. She wants to leave this place where she had been there. And we know that both her daughters-in-law, Arpan Rus, wanted to be part of the journey, and she pushes them away. And then comes this speech, which Megillah spends 3 psukim on, which is quite a long time for a speech in Tanakh, certainly in the Megillah. And she says as follows. She's now trying to dissuade them. Why are you coming with me? And this is a very strange speech, because there's lots of things we could easily have said at this point. We could say, look, Chazal tell us they were princesses in Moav. She could have mentioned this, right? You have an easy life here. It's very hard here. The town of Beis Lechem is not a pro-chesed place. We later see that Boaz has to say Hashem Imachem, Yirach Hashem. They were trying this Eis Lasa Hashem, the Gemara tells us. Boaz was desperately trying to raise the levels of the town. This is a place where they're not going to be misyachas to you. Nobody's going to marry you. It's going to be a place you're going to be an outsider. There's a lot of things she could have said. Listen to what she focuses on. Do I still, going to have children that you're going to be married to them? Right? Very strange argument. That's the thing that's going to persuade them? What, she thinks they're coming with her hoping to have children from? That was surely not on their mind at this particular point. What's she doing? And then, right? I'm too old to even get married. And let's suppose I did think maybe she's going on and on as if this is the big thing. Maybe I'd get married tonight, maybe I'd have. But even if I get married tonight, maybe even have children, you're going to wait around. Very bizarre argument. Not one that would seem to be remotely compelling. If they've been willing up till this point, when she says, go home, and they're willing to say, no, we're willing to leave it all behind for you, then why is this argument, but you're waiting for me to have children? I'm sure they'd turn around and go, no, we're not really, actually. That wasn't part of our plan. That's not our agenda. And yet, somehow, she knew exactly what she's saying, because this struck a very deep chord. And the next posuk, what happens is, Vatisena koilem ratifkena oid, Vatishak arpa lachamoysa. Arpa kisses goodbye. And doesn't just kiss goodbye. The next pasuk that Normie's going to say, Shava yivim techel ama ve'eleleha. She's done a total U-turn, back to her people, back to her avodah zaras. And Chazal tell us that night, she goes and finds a whole Plishti army and And she ends up being the Arpa's Harpo, who's basically the mother of all the people in Tanakh who tried to destroy David HaMelech. Not all, actually, but many of them. Her descendants are committed to the destruction of Malchus Beis David. She is committed to the total destruction of everything she was about to go and do. One second she's willing to go with, be part of Klal Yisrael. The next second she's turning around and dedicating her life to the destruction of everything Rus is going to produce and everything Malchus Beis David is going to be and everything his Sefer is going to bring into being. All because of this funny speech about waiting to have children. And Rus, Dovkabar, Rus is clinging on. It's like there's a hurricane blowing against her. And now she comes with a whole speech, the famous speech of the Gior, from which we're doirish how to do Hilchas Gior, also in Yevamos. This is also what's happening in this speech. Until we understand, and this result, this is a very important beginning of a clue, that the story of Rus begins long before the beginning of Megillas Rus. Obviously, it goes all the way back to Moav. And the beginning of Moav goes all the way back to Parashas Lech Lecha, to Vayera, really, I should say. Sorry, not Lech Lecha, Parashas Vayera. It goes also to Lech Lecha, but Vayera is where Moav is born. And in Parashas Vayera, we find the birth of Moav as the survivors of Sodom. Lot and his daughters fled, the towns have been destroyed. They think they're the last ones alive, but they get the father drunk, and out of that comes Moav and Ammon. That means that in Lot, the story begins in Lot himself. And in fact, going back into Parshas Lech Lecha, the whole issue of being anti-chesed, the whole issue of running away from chesed, starts not with Elimelech and Machlon Kilion. But the first person to run away from chesed is Lot. Because Avram, who's the man of chesed, chesed l'Avram, is the person who Lot leaves behind and rejects and abandons and goes to the place in the world that is anti-chesed, Sodom. We refer to in Chazal, we want to talk about a place without chesed. Kofin al midas Sodom. Sodom is the anti-chesed world. Why would Lot, why would anybody for that matter, ever want to leave a place that is, ever want to leave? What greater world could you be in than the world of Avram, right? And you're Lot, you've been raised by him, you've been raised in his home full of Kedusha, you've been raised in a home of Chesed, and you want to run and do the opposite? Right, Yishmael, who goes wrong, ends up being overly Chesed, and all the riots and all things to come. But here to go to the ante, what's going on? And there's a number of Ramazim in the Chumash and in Chazal as to exactly what went wrong, and exactly what motivated Lot. Right at the episode in the Torah where he's about to leave Avram, it's just before, it says, "V'gamle Lot ha'ilech hazeh." Also Lot, who went with Avram, was also very wealthy. The word "v'gam" always means he's a gam, he's also, he's not the ikka. Lot felt very much in life like Mr. Toffel, Mr., you know, the adjunct, the guy is also, he's not significant. Living with Avram Avinu, he's not significant. Now, on a simple level, that's because of the godless of Avram. Who are you? You're like his local, you know, his little, I don't know what, but his side operator. Yeah, I guess at best. But it's deeper than that. And this goes into Rashi on the Torah. When it lists the Arias and it talks about the erva of a sister, it uses the Lashon Chesed. And Rashi says, Chesed, he quotes in Aramaic, is Chesuda is a lashon of shame, of busha. That living with Chesed is not so poshut. Chesed has a price to be paid for it, and that price is called busha. What does that mean? And there's many Chazal speak about this in so many different places, in so many different ways, right? Of the fact that that, for example, right, here's Yerushalmi and Arla, right, says that Amar of Yudan Barchani says, the Ochim and Chavre, bois mistaklobe, anybody who's dependent on chesed, you eat from your friend, you're ashamed to look at them. Right, Adam Kavshalai, you want a person wants his own, more than Tishna Kavin Shachavei, right? You don't want to be a recipient of chesed. When a person receives chesed, there is a sense in which they also pay the price in busha, in shame. And Chazal actually have a word, a term for this. They have a number of terms. One is Nahama de Chisufa, the bread of shame. In other words, Lloyd feels like Mr. Gam. He's the also guy. He's not an important fellow. All he is a recipient of chesed all his life. He feels like Mr. Nebuch. That's what he feels like. That's what it feels like to receive chesed. There's a natural resistance to receiving chesed built into the human being, which creates a problem. Because if we want an olam chesed yibona, a world of chesed, and we're all resistant to receiving chesed, then something's going to be a deep problem. Which means the issue that Lloyd faced and ran to the part of the world that knew how bad chesed is and would never do any chesed, and that is Sodom, out of which comes Moav, who will also likewise refuse to do chesed. And then when Klal Yisrael is struggling with chesed, their great people are running off to Moav, Vayiyu Shom, to become something there. When that's what's going on, there's a real deep problem. And the deep problem goes right back, and it's a problem that's there in Gan Eden. Because Adam Rishon turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Va'oichal, right? He used the word onoichi for the first time, only after a chait. And then it says, Va'oichal, I will continue to eat. In other words, living under, this is exactly what the Ramchal says with Nahamad Chisufa, right? Is that living in the pure chesed of Hashem, just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks us into existence and just wants, you know, just don't eat the eitz hadas and I'll just feed you and look after you forever. Adam says there's a part of me doesn't want that. I'd like a self here, isn't that, you know, wasn't I created to be some kind of self? And the self comes out of saying, no, I reject that chesed. I want to be independent. This is so deeply programmed into us that every two-year-old kid loves that moment when they can go no to their parents. Every teenager has the drive to shut a door in the face of the parents and say, I want to be independent. I want to be me. I don't just want to be, I owe you everything because of chesed. This is it. This is a very deep, in other words, the issue that made Lloyd leave Avraham is so fundamental, it goes into the basic problem of creation itself. It goes into the problem of Kabbalah Satoira. The whole Kabbalah Satoira feels like one big kafir. Kof aleim harka gigis. Mudar rabbaloi raisa. This is it, right? This is forced. You receive chesed, you're forced to do what the person who does chesed. Eved lo v'lish malva, says the Pasuk in Mishlei. You feel like an eved. You feel like a nothing. Where's the self? This is therefore a problem. If we want to build a world of olam chesed yibona, Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to build a world of chesed. If the greatest matana he has is to give us the kli chemda shabayinit nashamayim var, nivra shamayim var, it's the Torah itself, and everything is a matana, then the real problem is, how does that happen without destroying us? How does my sabrashis come as an oilam chesed yibona without destroying it and just creating a world of busha? How do we live in a world of Avraham Avinu, of kulei chesed, without destroying everybody around us? You're doing your nice chesed projects, but everybody else, just you feel great, but they all feel that they've lost everything. So this is the issue, and it's not a resolved issue. And it produces a rebellion against chesed, and that's exactly where Rus begins. In the days, in the Shoftim, this is Vahib Meshoit HaShoftim, the Yirav Baretz, the Ish, the wealthy are running away from chesed. They're going to Moav, Vayih Yusham. What Normie says to them is, do you realize you Moav Vios? You know, you understand this. Have you become so dependent? Have you so lost your sense of self that you can't perceive a reality without me who's maybe been looking after you? And therefore you're now stuck. You're just stuck being dependent on me. What, next thing you're going to wait for children? Is that it? Do you realize how ridiculous that is? And it's so powerful. It's such a posh, it's like an awakening. It triggers something so deep inside Orpah that she's shocked. So I was like, yes, you're right. I became exactly totally dependent on you. I got to run away from this. And next thing she knows, and Normie can feel it. She's not just gone. She's gone, Elama ve'eleleha. She's completely, this is it. She's going to dedicate, she's been traumatized by this moment. She's going to dedicate the rest of her life to fighting back against Yisrael. But the Rus davkava, Rus is not. And the godless of what Rus is about to do in the Sefer is that Rus is going to come back. And Rus is going to answer this problem. And it must be that Rus is going to answer this problem, because we do need the Midas Adin in the world. We do need it in the world, right? Avraham Atav Yitzchak. We do need to understand how Chesed can work without it to be Nahamad Chisufa. We've had this problem running in history for centuries and centuries. And only when Rus will come back and give us the full depth of the answer will we then know how we can actually fully embrace and deal with Kabbalah, Satorah, and receiving the Torah of Hashem as a chesed with no busha whatsoever. And if we look at her own Kabbalah, Satorah, if we look at the Lashonah she uses, she says, don't push me to walk away from you. Which implies, if you keep pushing me, I'm walking away from you. I don't need you. Do you think I'm dependent on you? You push me anyway, I'm not going to be there. Then she seems to contradict herself. So one sec, I'm not dependent. No, I don't need you, but I'll do whatever you do. I don't want to separate from you. I don't need you, but I want to be with you, and I want to do what you do. What's happening over here? And this goes back into the Gemara about Geirus. This is exactly the issue, and the Rambam brings it to Halacha. Is that a person comes to ask to become a ger, the way the Rambam phrases it, you tell them it's a terrible idea, do you realize, you know, how much you saw him, Klal Yisrael suffer, you know, you may think we're doing nicely at this particular moment, but statistically, it's a big, big, big risk. They say, afal b'chein eini kedai. So the Rambam's lashon is, you mekab moisam yad, you take them straight away, and then you teach us, miktas, kalis, and chamuris, and the Rambam, ikrei emunah. Very amazing. We're about to guide them without Ikrei Emunah. They didn't know Ikrei Emunah yet. You know, we told them, by the way, there's only one Hashem, right? Oh, really? You know, you've been Makabal and Miyad. What's this mean? Surely you have to teach them all these things first, right? Okay, that's La Halacha, how we actually do it, right? We do teach them. But be a Soid Hadova, there's a concept of being Makabal my son Miyad, take them in straight away, and then teach them all these things. What's happening over here? Elamai, what draw them near to Yisrael? They didn't have a full knowledge of the Ikrei Emunah. They see something in Yisrael that they want to be part. Afal pichein eini kedai. I don't know what it is, but this is called Yisrael Shebachot Espoir. Right? V'yorim chokol amaretz. They see, that they'll see, and there's a yira, there's a moira, there's an awe, there's something in Yisrael. And Rus says, there's something in you, Norman. There's something special. There's something you're tapping into a deeper level of reality. And that's what I want in my life too. I'm not here because I depend on you. I'm here because I see a gadlus in you. In her particular case, of course she'd seen the gadlus, and of course she understood it, Ikrei Emunah. But she goes over it again. She'd seen, and it's actually Marumah's already in the possible. There's one other great Vayetze, and that's Yaakov Avinu, right? Vayetze Yaakov Bereshava. In each case, Chazal have exactly the same question. Rashi brings exactly the same thing in Parshas Vayetze. Why do you need to say Vayetze? We know where he's going to, just Vayelech Harana. The answer is because when a tzaddik is down, upon a hoyt, upon a ziva, upon a everything, the lights went out. And Rashi brings, and the Medrash brings exactly this Vayetze, Minamokam Eshoi Sashama. No, normally left town, the lights went out. And Rus sees this. She's like, you are godless. You have a reality. I've watched you for all these years, and I've just seen you now, and I know that you have the MS. I want to be whatever you are. I don't depend on you. And yet I want a relationship with you. But whether you kick me away or not, I'll be doing what you do. And this, amazingly, makes the pshat and the drush shtim, because on the pshat level it sounds very poetic, and on the drush level, Chazal adorish all the hilchas Yitchumin and Yichud and Mises based in and all these, and the territories are the same thing. That's the whole point. She's saying whatever it is that Torah is, it does this, right? It's MS, it's reality. Now tell me what it is. You tell me Ikrei Emunah, fine, that must be the MS. You tell me these lalochos, that must be the MS. But it's within this context of I see something I admire, I see something I want to be a part of. And the final line, more or less, that the Perek Aleph ends with is Vatoshav Nomi Rusa Moyavia Kalosa Ima Hashova Miste Moyav. That amazing posuk, right? Because Toshav Nomi makes sense. Nomi is returning. Returning usually have been in a place before. Nomi is returning because she came from Beis Lechem, so she's going back. But then it says Hashova Miste. It says Vakalos Rusa Moyavia Kalosa and Rus the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, Hashova Miste Moyav. That's not referring to Normie. Rus is Shava Mistei Moyov. And Chazal say it in two places, at least. Yes. Where has she ever been here? She has been here. She's the Praedah. She is what came out of Loit. Loit left Avraham. and he left with a painful wound and a painful question. How can we have chesed without destroying us? Centuries later, his great-great-great-great-great-granddaughter is going to come back. She's Shava. We've been waiting for this moment for hundreds and hundreds of years. She's back. And she's going to give us the answer to this question. And of course, it's no coincidence that the background to this story is Sodom and so many Ramazim to Sodom. Because David HaMelech himself, Chazal tell us, is born in Sodom. Matzosi David Avdi, says the Pasuk in Tehillim. Heichon Matzosiv, says the Gemara. Matzosiv b'Sodom. I found David in Sodom. Somehow the issues of Sodom, somehow the kasha against Chesed, somehow only when you can answer that question can you build a proper Kabbalah Satorah, can you build a Malchus based David, and can you bring all these themes together. So that sets us up, as Hashem, for going deeper into the Sefer in the coming weeks. Mirza Hashem will be Zeichet to learn its Torah.